Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Faisal on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. Faisal, let's talk about technology for a minute.
Okay.
Okay. Over the years, we have had plenty of conversations, interviews, discussions around healthcare and aging demographic and the role that technology may or may not play.
Yep.
But I think it would be safe to conclude that we believe technology likely has to become a part of the solution as this demographic, the baby boomers, age in a number of different ways.
Yeah, and I look at countries like Japan.
Yeah.
And in my readings and watching videos and seeing what's going on there, they have an aging population and they've got a bigger problem than we do in this country. They have a lack of a birth rate comparisons to ours and immigration, so you don't have more and more people coming in. So they're relying on technology to fulfill some of the tasks that humans are doing in other countries.
Yeah, no, for sure. Absolutely. So it's a good glimpse into the future. But there's a lot of work being done around this. I mean, there are conferences around this. And we've got a terrific guest today that's going to help us maybe understand a little bit about how close we are right now to having, you know, technology, specifically robots, helping in care. Deborah Carr is joining us. She's an aging expert and she's author of Golden Years, Social Inequality in Later Life. Deborah, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me on.
Okay, well, I'm not sure we can do justice in 10 minutes, but I am very, very interested in your opinion and your thoughts about you know, how close are we right now to replacing people with robots in care situations?
I think in the United States and Canada, for that matter, we're still pretty far away. But I think we're coming onto a situation where desperate times require desperate measures.
Yeah.
As you mentioned, we have a shortage of caregivers, and we're going to need to innovate. And I think one of the promising aspects is, one, that the technologies are getting better, they're getting more human, they're getting more effective, and the costs are coming down, which is really important for low-income older adults. But another factor that contributes is that each generation is more tech-savvy and tech-friendly than the generation before them. So baby boomers will be more engaged with technology than their parents. And then by the time we Generation X and after us Generation Y and Z reach old age, there's going to be just a greater level of receptivity to what technology can do.
So, and maybe let's talk a little bit about, and, you know, Faisal had mentioned that some of this, maybe a glimpse into the future, happens in Japan. They're probably a little bit more advanced in that area because of their demographic structure than we are in North America. But I'm curious as to, you know, what are the tasks and the roles that you think technology slash robots are likely to take over? And so how does it evolve?
Sure. And I think robots will never be able to give that personal support and love and care and nurturance that older adults want and need. But they can do tasks around the house, and they can help with getting around the neighborhood. These kind of less emotional but really more practical things that need to be done. And when we're talking about robots, we're not talking about an R2-D2, kind of like a Star Wars character, but really fancier assistive devices. Just as older adults today often are very comfortable with a walker or a cane or a hearing aid, all of which are technologies, those kind of technologies will be amped up. So in Japan, they have these kind of electric-boosted mobility devices that an older adult can lean on, kind of like a fancy scooter that pushes them up the hill, chairs that can lower them into the bathtub automatically. So I think we're not talking about, again, a robot giving an older adult a bath, but really more technologies that help them to get around in their home and in their neighborhoods and to eat 3 square meals a day.
You know, Faisal, I'm interested, certainly, and I think Deborah's correct. We've got some technology that can do some of the utility aspects of it. Although we have seen, you know, we have seen technology, and we'll get to AI and artificial intelligence in a minute, but even technology now where you can have an interactive conversation. I'm thinking about Google Home. I'm thinking about Alexa and whatnot, right? You're starting to be able to have conversations, and this notion of social isolationism is a big problem and a growing problem with aging adults. Deborah, your thoughts sort of on, I get that there's going to be a blurred line on this emotional thing. And I'm just curious as to, when you're future gazing, where you see this notion of social interactionism, social isolationism, and the idea or the ability of technology to maybe not provide all the emotional needs that somebody needs, but at least to keep them engaged.
Yeah. Technology, I think, actually has great potential to keep older adults more engaged. And as you pointed out, social isolation and loneliness are considered epidemics. I mean, lonely adults are more likely to die prematurely and to be depressed and to be suicidal. And technology already, in very small ways, is helping to fight that. We are so tied to our iPhones and to things like Facebook that we don't think about them really as innovative technologies. But for older adults, they are. They help older adults to communicate with family members, even those overseas, using things like a FaceTime. They help them connect with other members of, you know, their high school graduating class. So already, these kind of easier-to-use technologies are helping older adults to engage. And I think things like Alexa in the home also are another way to help older adults connect to the larger social world. It could be kind of a conversation with one of these AI devices, but it also could be just linking them to news sources and music and weather and this other information that is outside of their home but links them to the larger world. In whether it's information or whether it's communication, there are these small steps that kind of are a foot in the door of helping older adults to engage with technology and view its positives rather than its negatives.
Deborah, when we look further into the future and we hear the words artificial intelligence, augmented reality, virtual reality, these are all scary words for many people. And what do you see happening from a technology perspective using either those three different avenues or others that you can kind of say this is what we can see happening in the average American or Canadian home?
Yeah, I think AI can be used in a number of ways. I mean, one is through the use of television. We're already seeing that kind of even video games, for instance. There's been real demonstrated effects of things like Wii and even more sophisticated technologies like that that help older adults to exercise and to kind of stay fit. Another is, you might have seen some recent articles, they were developing of kind of these pets that look real, but they're actually robots. And they actually have had some demonstrated effect on older adults' emotional well-being. Because if someone is physically impaired, they can't go out and walk a dog every day. They might not be able to go out and buy pet food. But if they have a lifelike dog, there are some sensory effects of petting a dog. It's soothing. So that's kind of one intermediary step between robot and human, these kind of AI-type pets that have had demonstrated positive effects for older adults. I don't think we're going to go all the way up to having kind of artificial images or examples of humans to fit that role. I think that's still a little bit out there. But these other ways of interacting with lifelike things and images is already being shown to have a positive effect on your emotional well-being, at least.
Deborah, you know, I'm going to give you a bit of story of Dave here. Dave's mother has Alzheimer's. She's in a long-term care facility about 3 hours away from him. What we're finding is more and more elderly parents are living further away from their adult children, and technology is a way to bridge the gap. And so my question for you is, do you start seeing, and I've had this conversation with my 75-year-old father, that I don't know what's going to happen. His mobility is slowly going down, and I need to know if he's going to fall or if anything's going on. Is he even in the house? Where, like, instead of just calling him sometimes, I'd love to have that connection. Do you see that being the wave of the future as well, where we can start to stay connected and know what's going on without, you know, having to make that phone call or do a FaceTime or Skype just to see them because they may not be able to answer?
Yeah, that's a great point. Absolutely. I think the technology is going that way, and they're going to need to, because we have the most rapidly growing population in the U.S. and in Canada are the oldest old, those people 85 and older, many of whom will go on to have dementia. And they do require, if not round-the-clock care, at least round-the-clock checking in, right, for safety and security reasons. But their children can't do that because they live far away and they might have health problems of their own. So what you're talking about, kind of a monitoring system, we're already seeing things that are kind of like an overly developed kind of a baby monitoring system. You know, for instance, someone is a parent, they might have a speaker upstairs that they know when the baby is having difficulty, or watching by a camera from work. those technologies are getting better and better. And so that family members who live far away may remotely be able to hear and see what's going on at their family member's home. And so it's a way to have that oversight without being right next door. And as we know, there are technologies that the family member could reach out to that would bring in services like a rescue squad or kind of medical care should their parent who's far away need it, because these technologies enable the kind of seeing and oversight and communication that doesn't require physical proximity anymore.
It's going to raise a whole separate set of issues around privacy and invasion of privacy and you know, all of those things. But Deborah, we don't have time to talk about that today. I want to thank you very much for joining us today.
Great. Thank you.
We've been joined by Deborah Carr, aging expert and author of Golden Years, Social Inequality in Later Life. All right, my friend, we're going to have to talk about bulletproofing in retirement. And part of this might be some cost for technology to support you as you age.
Yeah. So as you age, you're concerned about not only your lifestyle and the things you want to do, but what if something goes wrong and you need some kind of care, but you got to pay for it? How are you going to do that? What is the strategy to protect you in the future with your income in retirement? We're going to talk about that on Tuesday, June 4th, 7 p.m. at the Carriage House Inn. You need to reserve your seats. Give us a call, 966-8400. That's 966-8400. Or you can go online to register by going to morethanmoneyradio.ca.
What do you do when your friends start dying around you? How does that affect your lifestyle and how you see the future for you? Stick around after the break and we're going to talk about that. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.